This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Hi, this is Lisa Horlander, artist, curator, teacher, and podcast host. My goal is to give you a glimpse into the lives and stories of artists, as well as showcase some of the art history happening right now. I'm excited to have my friend Ingrid Horner on. Ingrid Horner is a painter focused on abstractions, which incorporate bright colors and crisp, harmonized forms. She received her degree in fashion merchandising at Ensign College, but didn't start following her passion of becoming an artist until 2018. She received the People's Choice Award 2 years in a row at the Arcadia Art Show. She recently showcased her work in her solo show at Gallery Main Street in downtown Tyler, and also was a part of the group show Art in the Azaleas at the Tyler Museum of Art. Ingrid, it's good to have you on today.
It's great to be with you, Lisa.
I'm so glad. A little side note, she often is over at my studio visiting, so it's really even more fun is to have somebody on the podcast who I see regularly, because sometimes my guests are people I only see on occasion. So I'm really glad to have you digitally in the studio today.
That's great. I'm always happy to come, and I just like the camaraderie and the talks that we have, and how one thing leads to another, but it all connects, and it's so much fun.
Community is so powerful as an artist. I truly value having people coming regularly to visit with me, so I do appreciate that. So let's get started. What do you usually have in your glass?
Well, I usually have water, just plain whole water. I probably sometimes I have cold coffee. It doesn't start cold, but it ends up cold. How I drink it is usually cold.
That sounds the same. I actually have water in front of me as well right now. I totally understand the cold coffee. Coffee is good no matter what temperature. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just I make a cup and then I never make it through the cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just ends up getting cold.
What sparked your interest in art originally?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think as long as I remember, I've been interested in it. But I have to tell you, I was born in Uruguay, and they have that nap time, and that period of the day is sacred. So if you're a kid, you know, you're told not to bother your parents when they're sleeping. And, you know, they used to give me scissors and glue and magazines and colors and crayons and paper, and it was just like, here you go, and keep yourself entertained, just don't wake up anybody. So I think that's what started it all. But as long as I remember, I've always been one to do things with my hands, and I enjoy that process of creating. And I think I've tried all the arts and crafts that you can imagine, but I always wanted to paint a shot. I always felt not capable enough. I'm not sure if capable is a word, but I always felt like maybe I guess it was doubt. I don't have it in me.
The inferiority complex. I think we all have to struggle with that. I've talked to many artists who also say there's this feeling where it's like, I guess I'm doing this, but am I really doing this?
So, right. And then it's the thought that you're not measuring up, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah. We all judge ourselves.
And that prevents you from trying sometimes.
I think that's the hardest part about being an artist is the intimidation of, do I fit into this category? When really and truly, the only thing that makes an artist is our belief that what we're making is worthwhile and us putting it out there, and that all of our experiences are so valid because we're all so different. I also struggle with it still. I have several things that I looked at and I'm like, I want to enter that. And then the rest of me is just not ready. I think I'm not ready. But I think really what it is my own self. I'm not ready to jump into something bigger sometimes.
Right. I think we all suffer a little bit from that. And I think it's a good thing to have. If you don't have that, then you're full of it. You know? So I think it's a good thing to have a little bit, but not to the point that it paralyzes you.
Yeah. And I remember reading a quote by an artist, if it doesn't terrify you a little bit, it might not be risky enough. That these things that terrify us usually indicate that it's a struggle and that's some place we need to grow.
Yes, I think I've heard that as well.
I wish I could tell you who the quote is by, but I...
Yeah, I couldn't either.
We'll start a new one. What are you currently working on? I'd love to find out. I know that you probably are just finishing some things up because I saw some pictures up on Instagram of some wonderful things.
Well, yes, and I'm really good about posting. I try, and we have talked about this, about having, you know, like I have 4 different pages, and, you know, some are personal, some are just for my art and stuff, and I have people that do not follow my art pages, but are always supportive of it, so I try to post on my personal pages as well.
Yeah.
But what I'm working on right now, and as soon as we hang up, I'm going back to it, mm-hmm. is making a piece for the Tyler Art Festival.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the prize for the scavenger hunt.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so Tyler Art Festival, I'm going to plug it in. Mm-hmm. It's going to be this coming Saturday, November 12th. From 10 to 4 at the Square, downtown Tyler. And I will actually be inside Martin Walker Law Firm behind the courthouse. So there's, you know, the main event goes in the Square. I'm going to be there. We're sending people that are doing the scavenger hunt. We're sending them around different areas downtown that have art.
Great.
Hopefully a lot of people come visit and see the art ash.
Yeah. It's going to be, that's a really great location for you because mm-hmm. a lot of people know that there is art already there.
Right. And that's a kid would be displaying there as well. So good. It's going to be a 3-in-1 location. It will be her art, my art, and the exhibit, the ash exhibit.
Awesome. I know we're going to be having our studio open as well. So if anybody's, East Texas friends want to come by and see what's going on this Saturday, downtown's going to be hopping and come by my studio, go by the Arcadia. There's going to be some really good things going on. It's going to be a fun time. I'm excited about it. We haven't had like something like this in Tyler downtown in a big fun thing like this in a few years.
Right. So hopefully this will be the first one of, you know, an annual thing and many more to come. And I'm also working on some creating more for, I'm going to be part of a holiday show, not necessarily a Christmas show, but, you know, we may have some Christmassy looking stuff, but it's just going to be a show before the end of the year on December 10th. And that's going to be also at the Arcadia, the old Arcadia Theater at Martin Walker Law Firm.
Good. I can't wait to see pictures of these things.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, and I like to paint big, so I'm challenging myself to do some smaller pieces.
Oh, they're going to be small. Oh, I'm really interested.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll see what I can come up with.
I bet it'll be beautiful. Your work always is.
It's challenging. You know, you get used to a certain size, and then it's really hard to switch. For me, it is.
No, you're not alone. You're not alone in that. That's for sure. I often crave to do something bigger because that's my favorite is to do something that's bigger than 4x5 foot. I just love that size. But my studio and then just what usually is popular in sales dictates that I work in the smaller size. So I've gotten used to that. But I struggle with a smaller size.
Right, right. Yes, I think you just find what you're comfortable with, and there's a level of discomfort when you do a different size. I'm like, how can I fit it all in there, or can I, you know? And it's also, for me, I think it's easier to paint bigger surface, and it goes faster when it's smaller, especially with my detail work. Mm-hmm. It gets really hard. So, I don't know, I wanted to make some cards, but I don't want to print. I want to make the card. So, we'll see what happens. I'm not sure, but I'm going for smaller 10x10 and 8x8, really small for me, at least.
You can do it. I believe in you. That's so cute. It'll be like these teeny tiny mini versions.
And then I'm trying to, I think, and I believe we have talked about this, but I'm trying to, I love that hard edge, but something in me has been craving for some more organic shapes, I guess. So that's actually what I'm doing for the prize for the scavenger hunt.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
So, and I came up with something, and actually I change my mind all the time, and it gets me in trouble sometimes. But I think it's a good thing as well, because it's like, oh, it gives me opportunity to try different things. And I will do something, and it's like, oh, I like it too much for this. I want to put it here, or maybe I don't want to put it in this show. I want to put it in that other show. So I'm always creating and then trying to figure it out where it's going to go or how I'm going to show it.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes I'll have an idea for a artwork, but then a year later, I truly finally understand what it meant. So I'll have an idea, and I won't actually know what in the world I'm actually creating until a year later. This happens all the time. I'll think I know something, only to figure out, like, oh, actually, this means this and such. And it will work really great with these pieces that I made way before or after. Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
Yes, isn't that interesting? It's like we get some kind of inspiration that we need to make it, but it's not necessarily the time for it. I'm not sure what it is, but I think it has to do with your inspiration as an artist.
Yeah.
That, oh yeah, I feel like I need to make it, and then I'm making it. It's like, okay, yes, but I'm not ready for it yet, or the timing is not ready for it.
I was talking yesterday with a friend about how ideas have a tendency to be an entity, is what I like to say, where they look for people. And if you're open enough for the ideas and you let them in and you make the ideas, they'll stay with you. But ideas are really fickle and they want to be made. And so if you let them loose and you don't make them in time, they'll go find somebody else. And I feel that's the same way. Like, they also don't always stay in time. And I've talked to many different artists about this, and we've all agreed that this is a weird thing that happens, where it's like ideas will find someone else, but also ideas bridge time in a way that we don't actually usually bridge. Like, we're usually very linear, and ideas are all over the place.
Yes, I love that. You know, it's funny. I made one painting, and then months later, I found an artist on Instagram, and so I'm going through their stuff, you know, because when I find somebody new, I like to go and explore way back.
Oh, yeah.
How they started, you know, because art is always evolving and transforming. I think that even if you have a certain style, you can tell that some pieces are not the current pieces that artist is making.
Yeah.
And I found something, and it had very much the feel of what I had made, but I hadn't discovered that person until that time.
Yeah.
So almost like, oh, how did it's almost like, so I can relate to that ideas come, and if you're not make it, then maybe they go to somebody else. And
or we share them too. That's always amazing. Like, there's certain things I feel like people have to draw, like, especially as a middle school art teacher. There's so many times where I see the kids are very interested in eyes. I feel like every artist has to go through a series of drawing eyes. And then they have things like, oh, they're going to do this younger, they'll put a sunshine in the top right or left corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point around 7th or 8th grade, they finally stop doing it. Like, it's no longer something they have to do. And I've had my 5th and 6th grade aged students will fight me about, no, I'm putting the sun in the corner. I'm like, there's never a sun in the corner in real life. There's no corners in life. It doesn't ever happen. You know, feeling like, try to explain, but their brain is so set on this idea, and they must do this idea because it's clever. And it's like, might have been.
That is so interesting.
it's every single kid.
As we're talking, Lisa, I realized when I was a kid and you know, during my siesta time, you know, art sessions, a lot of the times I do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not something that I would dare do now because it was always an island with a palm tree and water and sunshine mm-hmm. and maybe some greenery, but it was always like a shore, always had palm trees. And I always say that all my life I wanted to live at an island. And I finally got to do that when we ended up in Okinawa.
Oh, that's a good point. Do they have palm trees in Okinawa?
Yes.
That's fun. You got your wish.
You know, it's interesting that we're talking about that, you know, every kid, because I think for years I drew, and it was always the same. I mean, I would do other things, but I was always kind of like, I don't know if that was my warm-up or what, but I always seemed to draw that. But then at the same time, I'm the kind of person, I doodle a lot. And a lot of my doodles end up tend kind of to be the same thing. You know, when I'm on the phone, I doodle. I cannot be on the phone and not doodle.
I totally understand.
So it's interesting, and I think sometimes, you know, I think we all take inspiration from other people, and I admire people that can copy other people's stuff, because I can't even copy my own.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different talent, that's for sure.
Yes, and, you know, I see people that can try to replicate other people's work, and I'm like, that's awesome, but I can't, even when I try to, there's been paintings that I want to do it in a different size or in a different color, and I always end up changing something.
Yeah, no, I understand that feeling. It's really hard to, I'm getting my Christmas ornaments ready for holiday sales, and each one is supposed to be almost the same, but each one has something different in it because I get really bored in between one and the other. Okay, I wanted to ask you if you could give yourself a top tip or trick to your younger self, what would it be?
Tip or trick to my younger self. I got a tip for other people. For myself, for other young people, I have tips.
There you go. That's fine too.
For my younger, okay, for other people that are young and embarking on the art journey, I will be, do not be too harsh on yourself. You know, don't judge yourself too hard and just go for it. But I don't think that I would have given that tip to myself, because I really don't think that I could have done this earlier in life. As much as I want to think that it would have been great, I think there's a time for everything in your life. There's, you know, there's a season for everything in your life. And I bloomed very, very late.
No, that's pretty wise. I haven't heard that advice yet. And I think that's a really wise thing, is to know yourself well enough to be able to know it would not have worked the same.
Well, I think my mind did not have the tools that it has now mm-hmm. to deal with, oh, people do not like my art. Right now, I couldn't care less. You know,
that's so important, though.
For people, I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah.
But then I think I had to go through. I feel I was the youngest one, and my sisters were almost 10, 8 and 9 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Growing up, it was sort of like a dysfunctional family, but I don't know what family is really normal. I think we all have a little bit of dysfunction in one way or another. But I think it was, art was my voice and my self-expression. It wasn't really something to do for showing so much. And I remember being told, oh, you're really good with your hands and you're great at doing this, but it wasn't necessarily encouraged. And I was like, I'm going to paint, and, you know, like, okay, well, you're not going to be no Picasso or any other great painter, so, you know, quit dreaming and get on with life, you know.
But what's the potential of it if you're not going to really take it big, is what you were kind of thinking as a young person?
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, and I hate that, because it's almost like if you're not going to be somebody, then don't do it. And you don't have to think that way. You know, I think we all have something to offer, even if we are a nobody, you know.
No, I totally agree.
Even if you're not making it, you still have something to offer, and you have, it's your expression. So whether other people like it or not, I can talk to somebody, and I have had a great experience when I was painting the mural, the downtown art alley, and people will come and they see you painting, they engage, talk, and my mural has the word Tyler CX for Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said something to him, like, can you tell what it says? And he goes, no, and to tell you the truth, yours is not my favorite. And I said, oh, you know, no hurt feelings, that's fine. I said, there's 40 other murals, I'm sure that you will find something that you love.
Yeah, exactly.
And my youngest son was with me, and after the gentleman left, he looks at me and he says, wow, Mom, you really handled that well. I think he was rude that he told you that, but I would never tell somebody on their face, like, I don't like your art.
Yeah.
And I said, I did not have my feelings hurt, because I know that when I look at art, I don't always like what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And even from the same artist, you know, I think we all have that feeling that, well, I really like this, but that one, I don't care for it so much, you know?
Yeah.
So if somebody doesn't like what I do, well, fine. Look at somebody else's. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. I am not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me.
So true.
I don't think that I had that kind of thinking, that I could have had that kind of thinking when I was younger.
I understand.
So I think I was a lot more vulnerable then. Therefore, my advice for my younger self doesn't count.
But I think it still counts. I think it's valuable to tell your younger self to live life a little bit before you pursue being an artist. Like, that's a very valuable thing, because sometimes we need some life experiences so that our art has those life experiences included. I certainly had to have some life experiences before I could paint what I'm painting now. Like, I remember in middle school trying to draw trees and being annoyed and being like, I don't really like drawing trees, which has pursued me drawing trees because it's annoying to me to not being able to do something. If it's hard, I want to try it. But I was really interested in fashion design. I loved fashion design. I was obsessed, completely obsessed also. And I haven't drawn a person in probably 3 or 4 years unless it was for fun doodling.
Uh-huh.
So I think we have to kind of live a little before we figure ourselves out.
I know. And it's like, when I was young, I was all into fashion, and that's kind of what sparked my interest.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did fashion merchandising, and I realized that, oh no, that's not the side of fashion that I enjoy. The side of fashion that I enjoy is making that drawing.
Yeah, the color combinations. I can't imagine why you like that.
Yes, but if I have to put up with people, I'm not a boss. I do not like to be the boss, because I do not want to babysit people. I do not want to manage people.
Mm-hmm.
I think people should be able to manage them. And if I have to explain, I admire you, teacher, because if I have to explain, if it takes me longer to explain something than for me to do it, I'm just going to do it and get over it, you know. And keep going.
That's half of the battle, I tell you. Especially if you have to repeat yourself 6 or 7 times. And as you're repeating yourself, someone asks you the question, you literally are trying to finish explaining.
Yeah, I do not have the patience for that. But I think, you know, our art changes. I find mine changing in the short time that I've been doing it. And also, I love that you said, like, oh, that's why I paint trees, because they used to frustrate me so much. I love that, because I think it's important that we try what we do not like.
We can't live life if we haven't tried a few things. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and jump us to, we're getting short on time. What have you seen lately that knocked your socks off?
Okay, so I have a couple things. Or a couple people, I have three things or three people that I have really move me with what they do. One of them, we talked about this artist, and I am so embarrassed that I do not have the name, but it was the pieces that were in the Tyler Museum of Art that were part of the Grace exhibit. And it was the artist had two pieces, and they looked like wood, like they were made in wood.
Oh, yeah, and I've seen these pieces. You said you didn't have the artist's name. I'll look it up, and I'll have it on the pod page on Patreon. Side note, you guys, if you want to find out some of the behind-the-scenes details, I'm going to be filling up my Patreon for Don't Drink the Paint Water with some links and stuff, so y'all can check these things out. But, yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yes. Oh, that's great if you can post it, because I'm really interested. I thought that I had the name, and I couldn't find it, but I thought that they were so interesting because I wanted to touch them so bad because it looked like tape and it looked like wood. And then I realized that this is painted on, but it just looks so realistic.
It looks so realistic.
Oh, it's amazing work. And then somebody that impressed me as well was, he was in that Artie and the Azaleas exhibit, Candace.
Yes, I love her work.
Oh, that is just amazing.
Isn't it clever?
She does the composition notebook embroidery, and it's just, I could get lost looking at her pieces. In fact, I go through her Instagram and look and look and look, and it's just so amazing. Her work is so amazing.
It's so precise, but also really loose. And I like the combination of something that looks like a doodle, and it looks like something that is loose and carefree, but it's hand-stitched, and it's so precise.
And then the movement and the spatial understanding that you get when you look at her art, it's like you can get sucked into it.
Oh man, you have to. So she has art at RO2 Gallery in Dallas. So I know that if they have an opening with her work in it, I'll have to let you know, because I've been trying to follow what she's been doing, because I'm like, I like to see it in person. This is so wonderful.
And then there's one more artist, and he is from Denmark. Just today, I was been looking at his stuff for a while, and his name is Carsten Beck, and he's from Denmark. And he does very minimalistic palette and very minimalistic shape. And it's all straight lines. I don't think he has one curve in his work. And it's mainly black and white. He's done some combination with tertiary color, but it's usually black and white. And I am just amazed that he just works with straight lines. And you all know that I love straight lines, but I love my circles too. But his artwork seems to be calming and peaceful, but it's massive in size. They're big pieces.
I just looked them up. These are beautiful.
Oh, they are amazing, aren't they?
It's the balance between all the positive and negative space. And you know how I am about in-between spaces. So I'm like, yeah, dig his work. I'm going to look him up on Instagram for sure.
Yes, I love, love, love. I have a tendency to like very minimalistic pieces of art as well. So those are the three people that have really been, I've been like, oh my gosh. I love it.
Before I wrap things up, where is the best place for people to find out more about your artwork?
The best place will probably be Instagram. And I have Instagram and Facebook. I do not have a website yet, but I'm not sure that I want one either. I don't know. I've been kind of, for a while, I thought, oh, I got to get good enough and have enough to put, you know, have a website.
Well, what's your Instagram handle?
It's Ingrid Horner Art.
Awesome. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for being on today. I'm really excited to be able to share you with everybody. And if you liked my podcast, you can now support it on Patreon. It's patreon.com/LisaHorlander. Also, follow my guests that I have and like and share our Instagrams. That helps us out. It's a free way of supporting artists you love. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode. It supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.